E1.
Number 36A.
Now, we take another general flowchart, one which you can go through in the same way as we do it, and can consider the opposite flow, namely the way of demonstration. The first one was the way of understanding. Now, this one we can see the flow of demonstration. So you take that other chart. Naturally, when we are engaged in demonstrating principle, we naturally have to start from principle and not to start from any kind of error or any kind of negative problem. What we do is always that when something presents itself to us, either as a positive or negative problem, that we put it right behind us and don't look at it again. We turn in our consciousness to the only reality there is and to the highest standpoint there is and look out from there. So in consciousness we take the standpoint of the I am that I am, and that's the only I am there is, and there is no other I am but the I am that I am. And this is illustrated in modern terminology as the infinite principle. So we start on the level of science itself with principle. There where I begin to see again what we have seen this morning, that principle is, so to say, the nucleus of everything. That principle is the most fundamental symbol of being, and that within that symbol you have the other six synonymous terms incorporated into it, built into it, that the others are just showing principle in a different aspect. That's really what synonymous term mean. That the synonymous term mean that they have all something in common, namely that they belong to principle, and that they have some shades of difference, and that shade of difference makes the synonymous terms. So that shade of difference is mind, spirit, soul, and life, truth, and love. And so we could see this morning, I think it was, when we began to see that from that one big symbol principle flowed out the whole chart, all the seven synonymous terms, the four sides of operation, the four levels of consciousness. So from this infinite principle, therefore, comes an infinite idea, and with this infinitude, Mrs. Eddy says, come spiritual rules and laws and their demonstrations. Their demonstrations, not our demonstrations. So principle must be seen as the demonstrator in everything, and so thought starts right away with that divine, infinite principle, and contemplates there what we have been contemplating, the law of science itself, that being is its own infinite being, or being being being. And in contemplating this isness law of being being its own infinite being, we could see that quite naturally something pushed us further. And that's always a sign that we should follow when something begins to push and ask a new question. And the fundamental question that being asks, that isness asks, is the question, is isness something static or is it dynamic? And so thought is at once pushed from principle, really, on the level of science, to right down to divine science, to life, to divine science first, to there where really principle says, I am a self-organizing principle. And in order to self-organize myself, I really must take everything out from the one life. And we begin to see that law of divine signs, where we begin to see that that principle operates in a self-organizing way by operating infinitely out of the one being, out of the one life, and therefore operates always as the whole ideal of truth. And I come to truth as the one whole ideal of truth. And I just feel that what is being demonstrated is really principle's own source in life, principle's own ideal in truth, and in Christianity, principle's own fulfillment of itself, perfection of itself, love. And it does that as an ever-operative, self-organizing principle which operates within the oneness of love. So that I see that this principle, see, it's a wonderful sense, I see that this principle in its demonstrative power is a principle that wants to bring out the highest, the optimal love. And so I feel that if principle is at work, it will work in that infinite plane of love, that it will integrate its demonstration into the plane of love. Can you see principle love? That principle operates here not just to suit an individual desire, but to bring out the great plane of being. And as I begin to see that, then thought somehow is pushed further and says what? Says, yes, that's fine. I can see that when principle operates, the whole universe operates. That's divine science. The oneness of being operates. Everything operates. But something in me comes up with a little suggestion and says, but I must see that it operates not only in the whole, but also in the parts. That the whole must be in the parts. That's our Gestalt theory, that it must operate as the whole in the parts. Therefore, that the whole must have infinite expressions of the whole. And how on earth can I have it except that the whole expresses itself in infinite ideas of the whole? But the moment I say in infinite ideas of the whole, I touch absolute Christian science. So my thought goes right over to absolute Christian science. See? And joins absolute Christian science, which says, yes. Now you get a wonderful tone of demonstration, which says, yes. See, I don't leave the other levels behind me. Somehow when I speak now, I always bring the other levels with it, where I see, yes, that infinite principle, science itself, that operates in a self-organizing way in infinitely within the infinite containment of being, divine science. Within that infinite containment of being, there is a constant emanation of that self-containment. It's an infinite projection of specific ideas within that infinite self-containment, so that always a new idea, a new aspect of the whole is being brought out, or is being focused on, is being accentuated. And so I feel, therefore, within that one life really is going on one thing, namely life, truth, and love. That the demonstrative principle, now the demonstrating principle, is constantly impelling infinite ideas to come forth in their perfection, life, truth, and love. And I know that because that word has a Christ, truth, life, and love, because that word has a Christ, it will give to me specifically that what is needed for this situation to demonstrate. It has within itself that divine mind reading which can take the whole ideal of truth and scan it and take individually that, those datas, life, which are necessary for meeting the specific need, love. And I know that in doing that there is Christianity at work, life and love, namely that aspect of being in being is at work, which says, and what this principle brings out through the Christ to you is an eternal idea. It will stand. It will not come and go, it will stand. It will be an eternal idea that doesn't come and go. Because this is the law of eternalization of the idea. And so I have that terrific assurance that what principle will show me and bring to me in a specific case is an idea that has validity, that has eternality, that has life in itself. And it shows to me and says, as thought goes further to science, to truth and love, that truth will demonstrate that which is perfect, because truth, as the truth of all truths, is already perfect. And it gives me a sense that that which is going to be demonstrated is something that has always been there. The only thing was that I haven't seen it. It gives me that sense that the work is already done. Truth, love. The work, done, love. And this gives me in demonstration the assurance that the answer is there, that the answer is perfect, that the answer is given, and that therefore there is no question of me making a demonstration. It's truth that knows the answer in its perfection. The question is that at this point I could be satisfied and says, well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So the work is done. And actually, that according to your state of consciousness, you could be satisfied at that point. But in a general way, and we are dealing here with a general flow chart, which should take in all the possibilities of arguments that come up, in a general way, thought will not be satisfied at that point. Because thought will say, yes, that's fine, the work is done, but I want to have the outward evidence of it. I want to have the material evidence of it, not just the inner spiritual evidence. The human mind is built that way that it says, I want to see it. Show me the signs. And actually, it is also good to see that the inward evidence as a true idea has actually the power of demonstration to dissolve its opposite statement or argument. And so thought is pressed, so to say, to reach the level of Christian Science. And so it goes right down to the level of Christian Science, though it is still in the infinite principle. That's why I like to put these lines now over the top, but not on the bottom, because it always still sees that it came from God, from above, and that it has lost nothing of the divine principle. Nothing has been taken away from the infinite principle. But now that infinite principle touching the level of Christian Science, or touching the mental argument, comes down to the word in Christian Science and does what? It does that what we have been doing when we were structuring those orders, namely that it comes as mind and says, but the work is done, the work of mind is done, therefore there is no mortal mind. The work of spirit is done, therefore there is no matter. The work of soul is done, therefore there is no testimony of the physical senses. The work of God is done as principle, and therefore we need no personal theories and personal opinions. The work is done as life, and therefore there is no more mortality or death. The work of God is done as truth, therefore there is no error. And the work is done as love, there is no nothingness. All is wholeness. So we have, as you remember, I've now gone through that category which we had in the Word as the divinely subjective category, which says what being is and what it is not. So it states here the fact in the face of its counterfeit. Then thought, when it has stated that fact in the face of counterfeit, has to meet another argument, namely that it meets the argument which says, yes, that's okay, you can state the divine and can state that error is nothing, but will the statement of truth be more powerful than the statement of error? Will the statement of truth be able, really all subjectively, to nullify the statement of error? And this argument can only be reproved through the Christ translation, through the Christ order. And so thought is pressed to the Christ order, which says, oh yes, every true idea which has been stated in the Word has a Christ. Every one of them has a Christ. The nature of God has a Christ to its opposite beliefs. By dissolving that opposite beliefs, even in spite of resistance. And so we have taken the Christ order with those categories, indicating that the Christ is that power of principle which says, I express myself in spite of everything. I am the power of principle that as truth is conscious of itself and has the power of consciousness, and therefore is a sword of truth to every error. That principle says, as love, I am the power of salvation, and this is the law of enforcing salvation in spite of resistance. And we have seen that is the principle as in the nature of the identifying power of soul that says, and I have the power to reform and to reform and to reform, to transform and transform, to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. And that Christ's power as spirit says, I am the only power, and therefore I act on every error as a purifying power. I am like the fire of truth that comes and burns up everything that needs to be burned up, and leave only that which is divine, which must be left over, the remnant, the idea of mind. And so I get the sense of mind being the power of manifestation as the idea which is the corrective for every illusion. And so in this way, going through the Christ translation, I begin to realize that this is demonstration where I begin to see that those statements of the Word which are true can handle the counterfeit beliefs of the Word, and handles it through the power of the Christ that resolves and resolves and resolves everything that needs to be resolved. It is the Christ that overturns and overturns and overturns until he cometh whose right it is, the idea of mind. So that in the statement of evil, we have the correct vision and idea of mind manifested as mind. And somehow we could be quite happy at this point and say, well, here is the corrective. But we must see also that this corrective takes place in man. That Christ touches the whole concept of man. Therefore, Christianity, you go over to Christianity and begin to see in Christianity that the divine idea is so big that it leaves no room for error. So that by establishing in consciousness the bigness of an idea, error is resolving itself. Christianity is always that statement where we begin to bring the idea back to its principle, and where error resolves itself, destroys itself. And we could see how that is being accomplished, because if we entertain in consciousness that Christianity order, we begin to realize that every idea that comes to us as the manifestation of light and as the corrective idea, that idea is fixed in principle. You have principle. That therefore, being fixed in principle, it is an idea of the all mind. And as the idea of the all mind, it acts the same way, in an identical way, as its principle, soul. And by acting in its identical way as soul, with the whole nature of its principle, naturally you begin to get a complete transparency of spirit, wherein there is no more darkness, wherein every belief of any opposite is being resolved. And so in that transparency of principle, we just feel the infinite atmosphere of life, truth, and love reflecting on itself. It's a wonderful sense. And again, we really could be satisfied at that point. But fundamentally, there is still something left over which doesn't seem to be right and which needs to be corrected. And so, in demonstration, we can see that thought goes further over here to the signs order. There, as the demonstrating consciousness or understanding which is building within itself such a structured consciousness that it annihilates our false structure of consciousness, which we have seen is a structure of consciousness building first on the opposite of soul and life, namely on beliefs that are mortal, soul and life, that builds on those beliefs and calculates blindly, at random, with those beliefs, spirit and truth, the opposite of spirit and truth, calculate at random, bringing forth purposeless results instead of new effect, purposeless demonstrations, purposeless results. And so it annihilates those false demonstrations. See, we shouldn't make the demonstrations which the hypnotists make. We shouldn't make those demonstrations which the mesmerists make and all those mental thought systems make with on their level of thought. They are calculating on the level of beliefs and have their effects. But our consciousness should really be that which destroys the possibility of making such demonstrations, false demonstrations.